Hear the word of God, as it is written in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 5. This can be found on page 809 of the Pew Bibles. John introduces the central character, not only of the Bible, but of the whole of creation. John, chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 23, reading verses 44 to 49. This can be found on page 807 of the Pew Bibles. Luke tells us about the last few moments of Jesus' life as he hung upon the cross. Luke chapter 23, reading from verse 44. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. And suddenly, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down in the middle. Then Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." And with these words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshipped God and said, "Surely this man was innocent." And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Our reading from Luke 23 said that the world was plunged into darkness for 3 hours. I wonder, have you ever experienced real darkness? Total darkness, when you can't see the hand in front of your face. I remember as a young lad on a family holiday trip to the Cheddar Gorge. We went down into the caves, and at one point, hundreds of feet underground, the tour guide said he was going to turn off the lights to let us see what total darkness was like. When the lights were turned off, the world went black. I could sense my eyes trying to adjust and find light by which to make my surroundings visible, but it was impossible. There was no light. Part of the reason the experience was so memorable was because it was a wee bit scary. I knew my eyes were working, and yet I could see nothing, not even the faintest glimmer of light. The people of Jesus' day experienced darkness in a way that we do not. They did not have modern conveniences like you and I have. No electric lamps, street lights, car lights, or phones with lights on them. They used oil lamps in their homes and businesses, which produced meagre light at best. In fact, so lacking were the lighting options in Jesus' day, and every age up until the invention of the electric light bulb in 1879, that people's schedules revolved around the rising and the setting of the sun. People were up with the sun in the morning, and often when night fell, they would go straight to bed. And as I discovered that day in the cave, when people are drowned in darkness, they long for the light. In fact, people in Jesus' day so valued light that they had special celebrations centered around it. As part of the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Jews celebrated a ceremony called the Illumination of the Temple. It took place in the Court of the Women. The court was very dark, surrounded by deep galleries, and in the centre stood four great candelabras. When darkness descended, each of the candelabras were lit, which in turn lit up the courtyard. During the night, the priest and the people would dance and sing songs of joy for the light in the midst of darkness. It was with this in mind that John begins his version of the gospel and introduces Jesus. And it is in this context that Jesus later says, "I am the light of the world." In essence, John's message says to us, any man-made light in this world can only brighten up a courtyard, but the light that Jesus brings shines a light on the whole world. And that is what we celebrate this Easter morning, the light of the world dawning in our midst. That is what we so keenly recognize as we gather for worship on Easter morning. Easter Sunday is the day we remember Christ's resurrection, the dawning of eternal light and life that came through Jesus' life, ministry, death, and ultimately his resurrection. As the sun rose this Easter morning and lit the whole world, we are reminded of Jesus, who is the light of the world. And more than just the sun that rises in the morning, filling the earth with light, Jesus is also the sun that rises in our souls, dispelling the darkness that so often overshadows us. We've all experienced such darkness and shadows, the darkness of fear, depression, or addiction, the shadows of unemployment or financial difficulty, the darkness of broken relationship, and the shadow of death. And yet, with the hope of the risen Christ dawning in our hearts, the light of life begins to dispel such darkness. All of these issues somehow look different when held to the light of Christ, and we gain new perspective in the eternal hope that all shall be well, and that nothing is too great for God in Christ Jesus to overcome. When light shines, darkness is no more. This is a simple fact of physics. And when the light of Christ shines in the world, goodness begins to overtake evil. In this amazing world that we live in, is there a more amazing thing than the invincibility of goodness? Everything seems against it, yet it refuses to be killed. The night falls and grows blacker, and then comes the dawn. And how is this done? Because this fight is not our fight. This fight is God's fight, and God is in it with us. No matter what darkness might overshadow our lives, depression, addiction, or fear, God is with us forever. And that is the promise of the resurrection. On that first Christmas day in Bethlehem, God came to be with us. And on that first Easter day in Jerusalem, God showed us that he will be with us forever if we will stick with him through thick and thin, no matter what. And the great promise of the resurrection is that God in Christ Jesus has won not just the battle, but the war. Evil has been defeated, and goodness cannot be conquered, but must win in the end. Even death does not have the final word. Yet the celebration of Christ's resurrection on Easter morning is not just about the darkness that is dispelled now. It is about Christ's life-giving light dawning in our hearts once and for all. What we celebrate on Easter is Christ coming to stand against the darkness for all time, such that even when the shadows seem to creep into our lives once again, Christ is still there to stand against it. There is an excerpt from John Bunyan's novel, The Pilgrim's Progress, which highlights this. It goes something like this, and I've kind of adapted it. In his words, "Then I saw in my dream that the interpreter took Christian by the hand and led him into a place where there was a fire burning against the wall, and a person stood by it, always casting water on it to quench it. Yet the fire was always burning higher and hotter. Then Christian asked, 'What does this mean?' The interpreter answered, 'This fire is the work of grace that is formed in the heart. The one that casts water upon it to extinguish it and put it out is the devil. But as you see, the fire still burns higher and hotter. And you shall also see the reason for that.' So the interpreter took Christian to the backside of the wall, where he saw a man with a bowl of oil in his hand, which he also threw continuously but secretly onto the fire. Then Christian asked, 'What does this mean?' The interpreter answered, 'This is Christ, who continually, with the oil of his grace, maintains the work already begun in the heart, against which the devil's work can do nothing. And the souls of Christ's people prove gracious still.' The joy of Easter morning is that death has been conquered. Christ has risen to rule in our hearts and lives for all time. And if we give Jesus a place in our hearts, his light will shine in us, even against the greatest trials of evil, even in the most difficult times. When we truly believe this, Christ's light will not only begin to dispel the darkness, but his life will transform our lives as well. A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, 'What do you put on your face to make it shine?' With surprise, the man of God answered, 'I don't put anything on it.' His questioner began to lose patience and said emphatically, 'Yes, you do. All of you who believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat, and even in the city of Bombay.' Suddenly, the Christian understood, and his face glowed even more as he said, 'Now I know what you mean, and I will tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of Christ in our hearts. You see, when the light of Christ dawns on our lives, it's not just that the darkness goes away, but that a new life is born with new hope and new opportunities. And if we make room for Christ in our lives, his light begins to shine even through us. My prayer this Easter morning is that we celebrate the resurrection. It's not just about something that Christ did a long time ago. It's about what Christ is doing in our lives each and every day, shining his light of life, dispelling the darkness of our troubled world, and transforming us, if we will let him, into beacons of love and light, whose faces glow radiantly as we share the message of Christ's life with all people. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, oh, what joy must have been in the hearts of the disciples when they saw the risen Christ standing there before them, glowing. Oh, what joy for those who saw the disciples thereafter, for they glowed also. Lord, Help us to experience that joy. Help us to do what the disciples did. Give our lives to you so that Jesus can have room within it. And within that room, his light will shine. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.